we did a marriage seminar or a relationship seminar. It seems it didn't work and nobody got married. So, so we're going to go the desperate measure of just picking numbers. Odd number and even number together. This year has been a journey for me in terms of reading the scripture in a very special way. I've been Christian, this year marks 30 years. I've been Christian for 30 years now. I was born 1979, August 3rd, 9:30 p.m. And ever since then, I've been reading the scripture as a good Christian should. And as I went to college after 20 days of my salvation, there was a man who really started grooming me and mentoring me and later becomes Yonggi Cho's international secretary. And so he said, "Bob, now that you're a Christian, you should read Bible 10 chapters a day." And I completely, he fooled me. Because I thought that all Christians in the universe read Bible 10 chapters a day. So I'm like, "Are you sure?" Like, "Oh yeah, every Christian read 10 chapters a day. That's minimum." So I've been reading Bible 10 chapters a day. And if you read Bible 10 chapters a day, you'll be going through Genesis through all the way to Revelation 3 times a year. And so been doing that for 30 years. That marks like 90 times. But last November, as I was hosting or I was part of the conference in Cambodia, Siem Reap, there was a pastor from Korea. He has a humongous church, 150,000, great man of God that I have tremendously respect. I actually wrote a book for him, Early Morning Prayer, last year. And he just casually shared with 600 missionaries, and he said, "All my life I read Bible 10 times a year." It really upset me, like, "What? My friend fooled me, you know? He said only 10 chapters, he meant 20, you know?" And I start doing that this year. I just finished reading and hearing the Bible fifth time this year, and I'll be go on and just, you know, and let me tell you, God created iPod for you. You could log in the Word of God and listen. Amen? Amen. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
That's right. Hearing, not reading. So hear more. You need to read, but hear more Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
As I heard through the Bible for the fifth time, and I'm working on like 4 or 5 Bible right now as I read, I heard this story, and it's so powerful. And it captures the imagination of, as you hear, you actually get to imagine. And this is a beautiful thing about hearing the Word of God. See, in the Bible, it talks about God coming and saw the corruption of man, and he repents of the creation that he had. It doesn't take long. I mean, it's not even Genesis 10, 9. I mean, it's beginning part of Genesis. God says, "I repent. I repent of creating man." Because there was so much corruption, so much sin, and it just, God says, "I gotta stop. I need to work on this master plan of salvation." And Bible says, Noah. Just like that. Wow, see, awesome. Noah. It's Hebrew, by the way. That's Hebrew name, Noah. You know what that means in Hebrew? Let go. You know what Noah means in Korean? Let go. I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. This is, man, I knew there's something spiritual about our language, right? God comes to Noah and says, "Let go, Noah." Because Noah, Bible said, was a righteous man. And he was grieved at the corruption was setting into humanity. I mean, he was grieved. And when Noah's father names him, he says, "You shall bring rest, Noah. You're going to bring rest and you're going to let go. And there are things that God's going to do through your generation, Noah." And the name became very prophetic. Because when God calls him by name, says, "Noah, let go. Let go. Don't hold on. Don't hold on. Because I'm about to do something that is so radically different." You know, USP has declared this year to be year of impossible. Wow. I never heard that. All my travels, I've been to almost 40 countries. I have been to 38th country just recently and visited a lot of churches. I think this is the first time that I encounter a church that declared the year of impossible. It's so awesome though, because you know the way I see it, the way that God, you know, I've been reading the scripture, and actually one day I was just meditating, and God said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Amen. You know why? Because God spells the word impossible. I am possible. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, act black. Come on, you could do that better than that. Man, I love to preach at African-American church because I go there, man, this big mama with the handkerchief was coming down in the aisle. I'm like, whoa, 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 what she's doing? And she just said, "Preach it, brother," you know? And went back. I'm like, whoa, this is cool, right? If you ever get to preach at black church, you don't want people to say, "Help him, brother. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord." You don't want to hear that. That means, you know, you're rated, you know. You're not coming back to that church again. You know, the year of impossible is the year that you're going to encounter God who's going to make something that is impossible in your life possible. That you could really testify that he that is in me is greater than anything that is in the world. I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. I no longer live because I'm crucified with Christ, and because the blood that he shed on the cross now make it possible for me to see and do the things that I have considered impossible. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be awesome here. It's only halfway in. Yeah, this is where we begin. See, and when I listen, when God speaks to Noah and says, "Noah, let go. Let go. What's in your hand?" See? Let go. Because as long as you hold on, you cannot hold on to God. As long as you hold on and said, "Lord, bless it, bless it, bless it the way I want it, and Lord," and you actually pray like God is your servant when you should be saying, "Lord, your servant's listening. Tell me what to do." And Noah said, let go, by definition, just let go. Let go. And he just let it go and let God. And, you know, I really think that as I come, and especially young people, you know, and professionals, and when I say young, I'm talking about you, you know, because when I became born again at age 17, I was reading through Job, and man, I was filled with faith. At age 17, when you were reading Book of Job, and Job lost everything, you know, his children, his possession, the camels and donkeys, and his Mercedes and Lexus, and everything he owned, he lost in one day. And then he rips his shirts off and says, "Naked I came, naked I go. I will worship the Lord of my salvation." Man, when I read that at age 17, I'm like, that is so cool, right? Now, that is the prayer I'm going to do. Like, "Lord, naked I came, naked I go. Because I got nothing." It's like, I got Jack, you know, so like, wow, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Well, I proposed to my wife when I was 19 and married her when I was 22, and she got pregnant, you know, and she gave a birth to a child, and I became father at 23. And then when I'm reading the Book of Job again, like, whoa, it has a little twist to it now. Losing my child. Can I really say that I would worship the Lord of my salvation? And then the child grows, and the second one comes, and third one comes, and the third one now graduating from high school, and she'll be going to Bible college, and we end up adopting two more boys, and I got five wonderful children. And can I say that as I reach 50 now, Lord, can I really say that naked I came, naked I go, I will worship the Lord of my salvation, Lord? It's not that I have more now, but it's that I'm more attached to them, that the relationship is deeper. You know, when kids are young and you could, because there's no fellowship, there's no intimacy. But I have first daughter who's going to Fuller Theological Seminary and she's finishing her first year. And we could kick back and we talk about God and talk about this complicated theological issue. And I'm looking at her like, wow, you've grown, girl. Wow, you're awesome. You're tapping into something that I haven't even thought about. Who's your daddy, girl? Man, someone taught you well. And to think that, God, if you take all this away, can I really be in a place of humility because I honor you so much and because I really accept the sovereignty of God so much that I could, can I really say that? I'm not sure. See, God would always bring us to a place where that God allows, God demands, and God says, I am the only one. I'm the only one you need to hold on to. You see, in your 20s, you battle your own battle. In your 30s, it's going to revisit in a different way. In your 40s, my goodness, full circle. You're just noticing, oh, this is the same demon that I've been fighting. Boy, you grew last decade because you're just fighting a demon that at a higher level. But you no longer did away with these demons. They just come back and they're more equipped, and you better grow, mature, and spiritually. Amen? So know that when God came in to Noah, I said, Noah, let go. Let me do it. And he had enough faith to let go. I said, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? I don't get it, Lord. The humanity is just, it's just terrible. And when sometimes we look at the world today and say, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I can't believe we're at this level of, we're at this spiritual low. And Lord, look at the world, look what the world is doing, Lord. And look what's happening in the world. And yet God says, let go. I'm in control. Let me. And let it be the word from the Lord when he says, Noah, know that it means in Hebrew, let go. Let go. What are you holding in your hand? Pride? Accomplishment? Finance? Relationship? Your position? What you accomplished up to this point? Your family? Good name? Some of you even hold on to the terrible past. It's under why. You can't let go of the terrible past. See, when things happen, either we beautify it or bestify it. Make it so terrible that it's attached to you. Let go. Let go. You know what? Let's pray right now. Just hold, lift up your hands unto the Lord. Just open wide so that God will see your empty hands. And God will say, okay, symbolically, these kids are coming to me empty-handed and said, God, I possess nothing. There's nothing that I hold on to that gives security. There's nothing in this life that guarantees. There's nothing, Lord, even relationship, even good one, Lord, even the people I love, I will not hold on to them as this object of trust. But Lord, let me turn them into object of love, that I will love them. I'll take care of them. I'll treasure the relationship. But Lord, I will not put my trust in them. For you are the only one, God. Holy Spirit. Why don't we just lift up our hands unto the Lord and pray. Let's pray that right now. In your own ways, let's pray. God, we release it unto you, O God. Even my children, God. Even myself and even what I have done, Lord God. Even all these good things. Even good things, God. I release unto you. Father, I will let it go, Father, unto you. Offer. We offer this as living sacrifice, O God. Father, I pray that you receive it. Father, you bless it, Father. And those things that you return it back to us, Father, we hold on to it, Lord God. Whatever that you remove, Father, we know that it is your will, Lord God. Release it, release it, release it, Father. Father, we let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. Father, in this time, Lord God, you've called us, Father, and you're doing a tremendous work in us, Lord. In this time of transition, some of them are going through such a tough time, Lord, right now. And they're wondering, God, why? Why me? Not now. Why now, Lord? Why not others but me, Lord? Father, come. Shalom, peace that surpasses all understanding, come. Give them assurance, Lord, that you are in control. In midst of this craziness, in midst of this crisis, in midst of all that is happening, God, you are in control, Lord God. Because you are God. You're the only one who is in control. So Holy Spirit, come. As they release unto you, Lord, receive it. And return back to us those things that you have meant to keep us, that we need to keep, God. And we'll be so grateful. God says, Noah. I speak to you. I have a plan. So we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. We praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. As we release it unto you, O God, give you glory and thanks. Glory and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the Holy Spirit comes and Noah is encountering this incredible God, I want you to know the God that Noah is encountering is no different God than the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. When the day of Pentecost came, they've experienced this incredible move of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit came and became real because God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, this triune God, is the one who called on the name of Noah. You see, same God. So whatever that Noah experienced, the God, the reality of God that Noah experienced is the God that the day of Pentecost that came. So we serve same God who is same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? That's what Bible says. And yet in our minds, when we read Bible, when we live our Christian life in 2009, we act like, oh, the God of the Old Testament is different, New Testament, and Holy Spirit is different. They're all same. They're triune God. So when the day of Pentecost came, as you know that the Holy Spirit just descend into and just come and touch Peter. And this Peter who denounced Jesus three times because he was so afraid of his life. And he denounced not into the authority figure, denounced to a slave girl. I mean, God wants to just like totally humiliate. And he's like come to a point like, I am worth nothing. I can't believe I spent 3 years with the Lord and I'm denouncing him to a little girl, slave girl of all a person. And yet, when the Holy Spirit comes on him, he stands up along with the other disciples and proclaims a message, and he quotes the prophet of Joel, and 3,000 people come to know Christ. How is it possible? Because it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When Spirit comes on us, the Bible said we will be transformed. We'll be metamorphosed into something new. Metamorphosis is not something people who's afraid their level is 32 and they somehow bump it up and behavior modification, whatever, and bring up to 79. No, we're talking about metamorphosis, meaning something that becomes radically different, thing like banana becoming train. And training becoming like broccoli. And broccoli becoming like dolphin. And dolphin becoming like submarine, you know. It is completely different. And that's what Bible says, when Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be transformed into a being that people now say, who was that guy? I've known him for many, many years, and that's not the guy I know. Why? Because he now stands up with authority, with the Spirit of God, and the Scripture comes alive. It is no longer Logos, the written word, becomes Rhema, and it's just piercing the hearts of the people. Bible says that people say, tell us what to do. It's a cut to our heart, and what shall we do? You need to be repent, and you have the remission of the sin, and you need to be baptized, and 3,000 were added that day. Because the reality of God started just coming out of, oozing out of Peter. He became metamorphed into some different being. See, when we encounter God, it doesn't matter whether the God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament, it's the same God. God who has spoken to Noah is speaking and said, Noah, and then Noah immediately recognized, because he had fellowship with God, recognized he was God. To a point he dropped everything. He was a farmer. And God says, now build me a boat. Like I said, what? Well, how long is it going to take? Give me the measurement. It's going to take him about 100 years. And he does it. Why? Because out of the intimate relationship. See, it wasn't like, oh, this deity is speaking to me or something religious. No, it wasn't like that. It was as if God was with him and God was speaking, and he cannot deny the presence, the existence, and the God there. And so he says, yes, Lord, yes, I'm going to build your boat. You know, when God speaks, you know, the Bible says that God spoke to Noah, and when God speaks, it's now this is what you need to do, the certain size, and you got to use certain wood, and then you got to use gopher wood. I'm like, why? Why use cypress, Lord? I mean, there's trees, like palm trees, isn't that great? You know, just cut it, you know, it's long, and it's already have a lot of fibers, you know? I said, no, you do what I tell you to do. You know what's the most comforting thing to know when you don't have to figure things out? It's like, best life in life is like, I just want to be his slave. Why? Just tell me what to do, Lord. Right? What? Dig a hole. Right. Yeah. Dig a hole. It's like, people say, well, why am I digging a hole? Well, because the Lord said. See, when we think that we figure God out and we try to do, and when we start questioning and all that. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be stupid for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. You know, don't flunk out for Jesus. You know, like, I tell my young people, listen, don't do that. See, I have privilege of going to Oxford. I'm just beginning my PhD at Oxford, University of Wales. Campus is in Oxford. And then I walked in there, and I thought I was a pretty sharp kid. Man, I was so humbled. I was so blown away by the whole academic fervor and the academic rigor they have on campus. I got my doctorate at Fuller. I wrote my doctoral thesis in 5 days. You know, I wrote 250 pages in 5 days. Because that's the only week I had that year. Because I'm constantly traveling. I do usually 230 days of traveling. And I said, God, I don't have time. Just let me write this thing in 5 days, Lord, because that's the only week I had, Monday through Friday. So I went and brought my computer. I didn't have laptop in those days. So I bring the desktop computer to fill a library. Kind of portable, you know. Monday morning, I go in there, start typing. Friday night, as I was coming out, I had 250-page manual. And then I went to 10-day fasting, and I turned it into 200 pages. And you know what? Lord said, that's going to win some awards. I'm like, you're kidding, right? You know, Azusa Pacific University had this competition on the issues on the immigrant church. And I'm like, I won gold prize and actually a special lectureship. So I'm pretty confident about what I can do. And then I go to Oxford, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. I'm just a kid. The stuff there. And so what I'm saying is not like, yeah, no, let's lose our mind and just, you know, like, no, I'm saying that, look, keep your mind, but you willfully choose to do whatever God tells you to do. Amen? That's the best life. You know, when God comes to Noah and says, Noah, this is what you do. This got to be this size, and it's got to be a certain story, and the roof has to be on the top, and this angle, and like, he does it exactly. Follow to the dots. That's what servants do. See? That's the servant. You know, when Paul says, Paul, servant of Christ Jesus. Read Romans. He says, Paul, servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. And he makes a distinction between what it means to become a servant and what it means to be called. See, we think that somehow that, well, servants of God are the full-time minister. So aren't you a servant of God? No, you all are servant of God. But what are you called to do? See, Paul knew that, yeah, I'm servant of God. And the word he used, servant, actually is bondservant. Because bondservant is not a servant who was born as a servant. Because if you're born as a slave, you have no choice. But bondservant is a free man who decides to serve this master because he fell in love with this master, and he willfully comes to this person and says, sir, I'm going to give rest of my life to you as a bondservant. Would you take me in? And as a matter of fact, they will go and put a hole and put a ring and said, he becomes a bondservant. Everybody knows that he's a bondservant. He made a choice to serve this master because out of respect, out of love, out of reverence for this person. And Paul says, I'm no slave. I wasn't born as a slave. I made a willful choice to become the servants of God. So he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be what? Apostle. His calling was to be apostle. So he gratefully, calling means, the apostle means the called out one, who sent out one, because you're sent out because you're called out. So he's apostle. He said, I'm going in. And then he brings in the pastor type because he's the called out one. He's going to plant something in. And then he's going to put Timothy in. And Timothy will be the nurturing one. And he's going to get all the credit. And he's got all the glory and all the salary. And apostles always out there suffering for Jesus. Do you sense a little bitterness? Because I'm an apostle. When Cindy Jacobs prophesied over me, this little petite woman with crackly voice, what does that the Lord? You know, like, and she said, you are going to lay foundation and everybody's going to build on it and nobody's going to know what you've done. I'm like, no! I want some glory! I hate digging. You mean I'm going to dig the foundation and someone's going to build building and put their name on it? That's so unfair, God. What's up with this, you know? Yeah, it's messed up, God. You know what? That's my calling, though. And that's what I do. I go Cambodia, I go Siberia, I go Mongolia, I go America, plant 5 churches, and just move on. And that's my call. You are all servants of Christ Jesus. But what are you called to do? Do you know? If you don't know, who knows? Every time you run into prophets and say, Lord, show me, teach me. No. Don't turn Christian leaders into a fortune tellers. It's your life. It's a reference point. It's a good thing. Don't turn good thing into an idol. You should be seeking God's will. You should be asking, you should be the one who's fasting and praying and ask God, what should I do with my life? I'm mature enough. I'm old enough. Tell me, show me. See, when Patty, my last child, came to my wife and said, Mommy, I think I'm old enough. I think I need to fast 10 days and ask God for the will for my life. And my wife said, Girl, you're sixth grade. You're 12 years old. What do you mean you're going to fast 10 days and seek God? I said, Mom, I got to know. I want to know. So can I fast 10 days? And she, matter of fact, organized, like six friends, the best friends that always eat lunch together. She said, I convinced all my friends, Mom, that we're going to fast 10 days. And a lot of them are not even Christian. And so my wife said, Are you sure about this? And so I kind of stepped in as a good, benevolent father. I said, Well, Patty, you know, you're kind of young. She said, Well, are you a pastor, Dad? Why is it that you could fast 40 days four times and I cannot fast 10 days? You know, I love the Lord. I am accepted Christ. See, I didn't know that a little kid could encounter God. The spirituality of kid is so real, so authentic, actually. She accepted Christ 8 years old. Listening to a professor at UCLA, I mean, it doesn't get any more complicated than to an apologist trying to explain the existence of God to a bunch of college kids. And she was 8 years old, sitting there, listening, and said, Oh my God, Mom and Dad, is that what you've been saying? See, I've led my kids to Christ like they accepted Christ like a gazillion times. Every bedtime story. You know, I have a puppet ministry. I get like all this puppet I tell and 2,000 stories. But so therefore, you need to accept Christ. You know, the Sam the shark was a mean, and Melvin the cow, and you know, and so now you need to accept Christ. Can you? Okay, now accepting Christ and go to sleep. So I mean, they've accepted Christ a gazillion times, and yet it just made it clear. 8 years old at UCLA, listening to professor, the tears was going, and she said, "Are you telling me, Mom, that I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself?" And I need to accept Jesus as my Lord. And say, is that what you've been saying all these years in bedtime stories? And he said, yes. My wife said, yes. So she didn't care what he was saying. And it was a genuine conversion. At age 8, she came to me one day. I was just goofing around, playing my guitar, writing songs. And she said, Dad, I wrote a song for the Lord. I'm like, really? You're 8, girl? You're 8 years old. I said, Dad, can you play D? You know? So I'm playing D. She said, I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And it's just like, you are brighter than the sunshine. You are brighter than the moonlight. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then she said, and Lord, this is a rap. And then she said, and the next section was a rap. Like, whoa, she's good. So I know the reality of God hit her. And then she said at age 12, she said, Dad, can I fast 10 days to see God's will? I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go for it. And we monitored. And actually, my wife had to stop them at ninth day because they were becoming delusional and acting weird. So the ninth day, we stopped them, and then we had a big feast. And then it's amazing. These little kids know how to tap into God. You know, that girl's graduating from high school in a few weeks. She became the president of her high school class, and now she's heading out to Bible college, and she wants to be children's minister. And when I see her, I'm like, God, I'm so proud of her. Gosh, what a life. A servant of Christ Jesus called to be children's pastor. My first daughter going to Fuller Seminary, servant of Christ called to be a minister of the gospel. You're all servants of God. And you don't become servants by holding on to your identity. Let go. You let go, praise God. And then he said, Lord, you call me to do what? What shall I do with my life? So in a way, all his identity, Noah and who he was, it was irrelevant to when God speaks. God says, okay, now you're going to build a boat. And the first thing that we as Westerners will say, but I don't know how. Can you just tell me to do things that is in kind of my aptitude and like that's something that I'm good at? He says, what does farmer know about building a boat? Nothing. Zero. Nothing. So God says, but I know how. Just do what I tell you to do. Amen? See, that's the place we want to be. We do the things that God has called us to do. And you know, once you start doing that, guess what? You become and occupy the center stage of your life. I meet too many people living someone else's dream. Well, my mama said, Well, my dad said, my family expect, everybody thinks this is a cool job. Everybody thinks that this is what I need to, well, that makes most money. Listen, if you have a job, and then ask the following question. If this job would only pay $10,000 a year, would you still be in it? And if the answer is no, then get out. I do what I do. And people ask me, what do you do? Well, I had an interview with my board, and the interview was called, Who Does Not Want to Be a Millionaire? That was the title. I'm not definitely in this for money. I've been in business. I did import-export and, you know, elevators, and we had our name brand, cellular, the antenna. We actually had a factory in China, 1986. I'm not aware of what's happening in the world. I'm very aware. But I do the things I do. You cannot pay me enough for me to do what I do. You cannot. You cannot. It's just because of my, it doesn't make any difference. I will do what I do, whether someone pays me or not. That's your calling. Do that. See, when you start doing that, my Lord, you're going to start occupying the center stage of your life. Now, I'm not saying that all of you now, tomorrow, go, you know, resign from your, you know. I'm not saying that. See, you need to hear God and be certain that's the calling. Until then, what? You live as a servant of Christ Jesus and seeking. Because you know what? Calling changes. And you morph into something. And I wasn't called to do what I do now. I was just called to do minister to children, minister to youth, minister to and church planter. So I've been planting church 18 years. And finally God said, well, that's enough. You know, now you're going to send you to the nations. So I've been in Cambodia and all that. So it will change. You will morph into something else. So do not fear. Just give yourself to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Noah, I let go. Well, tell me, Lord. Speak to me. So meetings like this and every Sunday in your quiet time, the Bible, God will start speaking to you. 1997, one morning, I got out of my quiet time. I just finished my quiet time. There was a great 10 chapters. You know, like, whew, yeah, you know, put it down. I get up, and the word was Cambodia. I'm like, what don't you get, Lord? The word is Hawaii. Why don't you listen to me, Lord? I said, Hawaii, those poor surfers, they need Jesus. I'm pleading for their souls, Lord. But the assignment was Cambodia. So we started a church for Cambodians at South Central in LA, and that led our connection to Cambodia, and we began ministry at Leper's Colony in Cambodia, and we start buying lands, and we start elementary, and then the mission agency work with start doing junior high school, medical clinic, and now it's like 100-acre lot. It's incredible ministry. Just like, I can't believe that we are doing whatever we're doing, because a bunch of us just vision dreaming casting at a hotel. We said, like, this is what we're going to do by year 2012, and everything was fulfilled in 3 years, and we're just at loss. Like, what do we do now? It's like, why was it so quickly done? You know, we don't get it. Lord, come on, there's no drama here. So now we're launching 2020 Vision, and we're doing new things. And all that is just simply obeying every step, and God will show His glory. Amen? See, a lot of times when you take the credit and like, I did it my way, you know, Frank Sinatra way, that's not God's way. You shouldn't ever be able to sing like, I did it my way. No, you did it His way. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And He gets all the glory. The reason God will not let you do your way, because you get the glory. The moment you take the glory, you become enemy of God. Because God will not share His glory with anybody else. That's what Satan did. And he fell from heaven and became who he is, and with a bunch of demons. God does not want you to go that route. You know, the moment you think you're taking the glory, watch out. See, as a child, they understand that. As a child, they understand that. No, it's not me. It's not who I am. Man, I just stick to my dad. And I have my being in him. But instead, when we start growing older, like, you're just like, yeah, I don't want to do. And you become almost like anti-dad. Like, everything that he did, you don't want to do. Why? Because that's what he did. There's no value, intrinsic value in what you're doing. It's just that it's anti-whatever, you know. You're just always reacting. But when we're a child, the Bible says the child has such a faith, like, God, you are awesome. Lord, I just want to be with you. See, when the sixth grader who fasted 10 days and she entered seventh grade, and when she entered seventh grade, guess what? Our house shares the wall with junior high. So literally, our house wall is their junior high school wall. So she could walk. It's like, it's not even whole block, it's half a block. You walk, that's it, you are there, you know? And Patty comes to me one morning and said, Dad, tomorrow at 2:30, can you come and pick me up? I said, what? You know, we live half a block away from the school. You want me to pick you up? He said, yeah, Dad, but make sure that you bring your motorcycle. Because I don't have a car. I have 1,300cc huge bike that makes monstrous noise. I love it, right? I feel so cool. Oh, yeah. That's me, right? So she said, yeah, Dad, make sure you bring a motorcycle with extra helmet. Something like that. Okay, whatever, you know, I obey, you know. So the next day, 2:30, I go there, and you see these rows and rows of, you know, minivan, and all these mamas taking their kids, and their gazillion kids all waiting for their mom, and the way the system is that you all line up, and kids go in, and they leave one by one. Well, motorcycle, legally, we could cut through the lanes. So I'm just, you know, cutting through the line, and all the kids are going, oh my God, who's this guy, right? And then I parked to the front and said, Patty! And then there's a the crowd just divide, and there comes Patty. And all the kids go wild, Patty! Patty! She gets them behind me, and I go, home. You know, it's like. Other kids don't know that, just secret between Patty and I. But, you know, she became so popular in this school. She's like, who's your daddy? Well, he's a pastor, you know, and see, they understand early on, when they're a kid, they have no ego problem. They have no ego problem. It's like, I just want to share your glory. I just want to be with you and let it permeate and let people be ooh and wow because of who you are, God. I'm okay with that. But when we start having this, we're not okay with that. I want some glory. I want some credit. I want people to say something like, oh, are you the one that who be? Yeah, I'm the one, yeah. Are you the one that, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I know. I'm so humble, yeah. Yeah, like my wife, I said, she preached a message. I said, that was the greatest message on humility, hon. You know? Oh, you didn't get that. Okay. Sometimes we live and act so contradictory to who we really want to be because we're living sin nature. We our sin kicks in, and then we say that, oh, yeah, I'm just so humble, and I just want to love the Lord. I just want to do this, and yet so much ego is involved, so much sin is involved, and so much, and we cannot let go, and we want to do our way. Lord, why are you telling me to do this way? It seems to me that it would be better if I just use this word in this size, and isn't it better? And constantly in argument with God and talk, and Lord, why is my life this way? Why did you take, why am I here? What am I doing in Hong Kong? And why am I meeting this? And on and on and on. Why did I have this kind of life? God says, chill. This is it. That's how I'm going to lead you. Accept it. Amen? Yeah. Let God be God in your life and do what he says. Because he's leading and showing and guiding. And this is an awesome thing when God starts showing up and, you know, the glory of God starts manifesting and you do what God, and then, you know, all the impossible things that you thought was impossible is going to start becoming possible. You know, I've been running the race with the Lord now for 30 years. I've been Christian for 30 years and all the stuff. It just, wow, it's kind of mind-boggling. You go back and I've been writing journal or diary since seventh grade. And so I could go back and like, I can't believe that was my issue. I can't believe I questioned God about that. When now, looking behind, it's like, oh my Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, that I questioned you in that area. And I'm sorry, Lord, that was my issue. See, when God called, God is going to provide. That's why we call Jehovah Jireh, one who provides. And then in this life that you're walking on this path, and God says, now can you trust me in this? Can you follow me? Can you give me your 100% devotion? Can you recognize me as God in your life? And then God will at times question that tests you. You know, when God tests you, He does not want to give you F. God tests you so that He will reward you. Amen? He's not interested in flunking you out. You know, He's actually interested in rewarding you. That's why God tests you sometimes. And you know, if you don't pass the test, guess what? You're going to come back to the full cycle again someday. And you go like, this looks familiar, you know? I think I've been here before, you know, deja vu, you know? Something happened. You know, have you seen Matrix? You know that movie? Yeah. Deja vu, right? Oh. Well, anyways, spiritually, what's happening is that you haven't passed the test. So you're going back. And God's going to challenge you. Well, I want to pass you so that you can move on to the next level. And faith, life, you know, whatever you dealt with 20s, well, that was nice. Yeah. Well, this is different. Now this is essay. It's not right and wrong. It's essay. Tell me why you think it's wrong. Wow. It puts it in different context, right? So you need to write. You need to verbalize. This is what I believe, Lord. You know? Wow. Good. You know? So God will take you to next level. And God will ask you. And you need to go. And Noah's building this building. And when he's done, this is amazing. It says that you don't have to go there. Just listen. This is what God said. Thus, Noah did according to all that God commanded him. The beginning of the chapter, it says God spoke to Noah. But Noah understood what God said as a commandment. This is very profound. Listen. A lot of times, Christians in 21st century hears the command from the Lord and turned into, yeah, that's what he said. No, that's not what he said. It was a commandment. Go and make disciples of all nations. Was not like, yeah, some people could go. Some people could make disciples. Because, you know, that's what he said. I don't have to obey. No, that's his commandment. You either obey or disobey. That's it. See, but Noah actually took what God said and turned it into commandment. Why? Because he was a servant. That's the difference. That's where we need to be. When God speaks, man, you better turn it into commandment. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. Amen? It is important that we understand that. And if we don't understand that, then you always live in this life of impossibility. Why? Because, you know, everything reasonable only works. You know. There's something that we need to enter into the dimension where, yeah, impossibility is not an issue because God said I'm possible, and he said it, it's going to be done. You know, I'm sitting at Copenhagen, Denmark. This is a fascinating story. Here I am, Copenhagen, Denmark, and I'm like, I'm just in this bench, and this is the bench that Soren Kierkegaard said, and then he had this struggle with identity, and I'm sitting there just like, wow, I finally arrived. See, I struggle with philosophical issue in my life. I became born again 1979, August 3rd, 9:30 p.m. And 20 days later, I went to Berkeley. I started being a philosopher. I want to be a philosopher because I want to serve God, you know. And here I am taking my first class. The incredible world-class philosopher says the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened. And he spent the next 20 weeks trying to disprove the resurrection of Christ. And out of the 450 student body, probably good 30-40% were Christian. And everybody had to agree with him to get good grades. You know, the econ professor at Berkeley, 1979, came with a thick Bible. And everybody like, oh, he must be Christian. He throws it on the floor, takes out a $20 bill. And he said, folks, this is more popular today than that. That was 1979 at Berkeley. And the econ class began. Complete denouncement of this is crazy. I took a comparative religious class at Berkeley. The professor comes out and said, I'm happy to announce that we, out of this group, as a final project, we invented six major world religion. That was our final project. We have to come up with our own religion out of the principle that you learn in that class. You know what I did in my final paper? I wrote, I reinvent Christianity. I wrote in my paper, well, there is God, of course, obviously, there is God. And then he would send his son to die on the cross. And then, you know, obviously, it requires faith because the finite would never understand the infinite. For finite to understand infinite, it's not one way, it has to be infinite reaching down to finite. It makes logical sense, doesn't it? So the finite God came, infinite God became finite man, and the way that we touch that point is to have faith because it's not by exercise, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I invented the whole Christianity. I said, well, what do you think? I got B+. The professor said, so I'm like, oh, no, it's not a B-plus paper. So I go to my professor. I said, sir, I know A paper when I see one. This is A paper. You just don't like Christianity. What's your problem? Why don't you like us? Why don't you hate Christians so much? What have we done to you? Why are you such a bigot? You know, you're okay with every religion in the world except Christianity. What kind of statement is that? How come you're so biased? Why are you okay with Moonies and Hare Krishna? They are so proud. Like, we have the headquarters of Moonies in this city. Oh, yeah. We have the headquarters of Hare Krishna here, and we gave a birth to this. And why are you so friendly with everything else except Christian? Why is God, what did Christ do to you that you're so upset at Christianity? Maybe some Sunday school teacher there. Maybe something happened, but man, it's lopsided. It's not logical. It's not rational. It's not right. So I got into this big debate. He's a philosopher. He's a professor of religion. I'm a student of philosophy. You know what happens when philosopher and the professor of religion fight? Philosopher always wins. Because, man, we could out-philosophize anything, you know? So I just killed him, you know? I just like, body slam, you know? Like, you know? So he's like all broken and bruised. And he said, okay, Bob, you're right. It was a paper. But I hated your gut for writing paper like this in my class. You know what I said? There are so many Christians in this group. They all came up with their own religion. But you have to reinvent Christianity and write the gospel. How dare you? He said, but you're right. I did you wrong by giving you B+, so I'm going to go up now and change your grade. I said, sir, sit down. You mean all this time that I was talking with you, you thought that I'm here because I want to change my grade? You got me wrong. You got Christians wrong. There's no power in you to manipulate me, to say what I want. Sir, I'm seeking truth. I'm seeking truth. I'm not interested in your theory. I'm not interested in your grade. Your grade means nothing to me. Sir, I found truth, and you cannot denounce the reality of God that I encounter. Jesus is real. That's the reality that I live by. You could denounce me. You could argue against me. You could philosophize. I don't care, sir. Jesus that I met is real. Amen? See, that's the reality in which that we must have our being. That's in which that we need to accept Christ and live a Christian life when it doesn't matter whether you're in Hong Kong or Indonesia or China, or it doesn't matter whether you're in Cambodia, whether you're in Siberia right now, when the reality of Christ is real in your life. And you could really say, it's not issue with right or wrong. Is it real? Yeah, you could have all the right theology. You could have your Trinitarian, and you understand the predestination, and you could quote Calvin, and you could quote, you know, and you could be brilliant in those doctrinally, right? But you are right, but is it real? That's what the world is asking. The world is saying, man, you talk about Jesus, but is he real? Is he real? You know, when I became born again, I got so turned on to Bible. I got to study this, man. So I'm at Berkeley, and a freshman at Berkeley. I was doing 13 Bible studies a week. It's like Methodist Bible, Presbyterian, you know, Lutheran, I mean, charismatic, non-charismatic, it doesn't matter. I'm like learning the word of God. I'm like, they're learning, you know. I'm so excited, you know. You know what the best way to learn Bible is? To teach it. So guess what? You know, out of the 13 Bible study, like 7, 8 were the stuff that I was learning, and they immediately, I said, I was in a Wednesday night Bible study, there were like 50, 60, well, 40 of them, and like, you know, this is great, my Romans chapter 2, this is great. And then I said, hey, John, can I buy you lunch tomorrow? I was like, oh, sure. So I'm eating lunch, and then while we're eating, I said, yeah, John, can I teach you Romans chapter 2? I'm like, it's like, hey, isn't that what we learned yesterday? I said, yeah, I know, I'm buying you lunch, shut up, you know, so... The difference between John and I is that John was learning. No, but yesterday I was learning to teach. Completely different perspective, completely different attitude. I don't know, it's just John wasn't getting it, but I was learning to teach. I was learning to communicate. I was going to take it and I was give it. You know what? Every time I take something, I make it better. And I kind of blur the origin and where it came from, so it becomes mine. It's like, that's what great writers do. So, like, and John said, this is messed up. I don't want to learn the same thing. No, I bought you lunch, man. So just listen. And so I'll look for my victims, you know, every Friday. You know, okay, you know, like, can I buy you lunch? You know, and here I am teaching Bible the right next day after I learn. So I'm doing 13 Bible studies a week. Man, I'm learning this. I'm so excited. But and yet I don't have guts to proclaim it on the street. I was 17 years old. I was 18. I was 17 going in, I turned 18, and I'm like, I have my Bible, and I'm so scared, like I'm on the corner, and there's this guy, you know, preaching at the corner, and this is Berkeley, man. All the crazy people come, and you know, shouting, and all that, and this guy doesn't matter, he's proclaiming the gospel, and I remember one time, this guy was proclaiming the gospel, and this crazy guy said, hey, I'm an atheist, there's no God, you know, F this, F that, and he was making, I mean, it's like, he was making a scene, and you need a buffer in those kind of situations. You need someone to step in and say, hey, listen, can you just talk to me instead of shouting, you know? Yeah, the man is proclaiming the gospel, man. So, and I knew I could, that much I could do. But now I wouldn't have guts to proclaim the gospel on the street. So I step by and say, hey, can I talk with you? He said, you're atheist, right? I go, yeah, I'm atheist. Oh, good, here, talk to me. Do you really, truly, absolutely certain that there's no God? He said, yeah, there's no God. Okay, here, come here, let me pray for you. I said, God, curse him. Let him step out and hit by a truck. Let him have a brain tumor that's growing the size of a base basketball and let him die, you know, like. And he's like, yo, man, what are you doing? I said, listen, you said there is no God. You said you're truly atheist, right? You're absolutely certain, right? Yeah, sort of, you know. I told him, hey, listen, I don't believe in unicorn. So go ahead, curse me in the name of unicorn. Go ahead. Come on, come on. Keep it coming. Let me have it, you know. I have absolutely no fear for the statement you're making. Because unicorn ain't real. But the reason why you fail something, because there is God. And man is made according to God's image. Amen. There's a spirit in you that's reacting to what I'm saying. Atheist, my foot, man. There's no true atheist in the world. You know what? There's no true. It's amazing. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody are in need of prayer. Amen. One day I was in the airplane going through somewhere. I upgraded to business class and Fonz sitting next to me. Henry Winkler. He's this movie star sitting next to me like, yo, hey, what's up? Hey! Hey, man! And it's like Fonzie says, oh, hi, yeah, nice to you. He's a short guy, you know? So I said, hey, Fonz, can I pray for you? Is there any prayer requests? I go, oh, yeah, can you pray for my son? You know, I'm like, here, can you sign my Bible? So hey, even Fonzie himself need prayer. Who do you think you are, man? Fonzie was like, Fonz. You know, we need to go in a place where we are sincerely seeking God and be honest with God. So the realness of the Spirit of God will become real. The essence of who God is will become real in your life. You know, let go. I don't know what you're holding on to, but let go. You know, if whatever that is holding on is keeping you from getting nearer to God, God will surely take it away. Don't let God take it away from you. It is much easier to let go first. Let go. And then God would give it back to you if it belongs to you. And said, God, whatever you ask me to do, Lord, I will. If it is your will, you know, I learned this from Pastor Sam. Pastor Sam said, if it is God's will, that's his bill. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty good, Sam, you know. That's pretty good. I'll use it someday, somewhere, you know. Wow, if it is God's will, it's God's bill. He will pay for it if it's his will. See, I didn't start out wanting to get my second doctorate at Oxford. I had no intention to get it at Oxford. I have absolutely no idea such program existed. But I was seeking because God is burdening my heart. I said, well, you start mission work. Now it's the eighth year. I want you to get your second doctorate in the mission. I'm like, Lord. But, you know, Fuller, I go there. Talbot, I go there. And they're asking me to sit through 3 years of classroom. I said, are you kidding me? I have been traveling 230 days out of the year. How can I sit through a classroom to get my second PhD? Can I just write thesis? I said, no. You need to sit through classes. So for 2 years, it's been delayed and going back and forth. And finally, someone calls me up and, hey, Bob, you should check this Oxford program out. You know, I'm like, they're fantastic. It's incredible. So I'm like, really? So one thing led to another. I was going to actually schedule, according to my plan, I was scheduled to go Oxford 2010, next year, because my sabbatical begins September this year. But Lord just expedite. You know, the director of the program happened to be in L.A., wanted to see me, approve me on the spot, and now I'm in the airplane going Oxford end of March. And I'm like, Lord, I need to go. But the thing is, I was rejoicing. My wife was happy that I got into the program, but except that we had absolutely no money. We needed, you know, a tuition in pound and airfare and my lodging of 5 weeks there. The whole thing cost $7,000 US dollars. I'm like, Lord, I don't have $7,000. How am I gonna make it? You know, it's amazing when God moves. You know, here I am at Georgia, leading a conference, mission conference, 7 days before going there. I had absolutely no money. And I said, Lord, this conference, I have to pay my way. I have to pay dues, and I have to preach, and I have to teach. You know, they take all the glory, and they take everything, and they don't pay me jack. And that's messed up, right? So I'm like, Lord, this is messed up, you know? So here I am, like, complaining hard. And then I was there Sunday, 7 days prior to my departure. My friend from Georgia says, hey, you just come and preach my church. So I preach at his church. The guy stands up and says, hey, let's give pastor a love offering, you know? And $5,000 comes in for me and my family. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, but I need $7,000. So don't go cheap on me, Lord. I need $7,000. Well, Monday, mission conference, Tuesday, mission conference, Wednesday, mission conference, Thursday, it's over. I'm flying out to LA in Georgia. Wednesday morning, I get a tray full of food at the Holiday Inn. And, you know, a bunch of missionaries are there. I'm going, and Lord points with his finger, he says, you sit there. I was an empty chair. And among all these missionaries, you sit there. I said, Lord, why there? I said, sit there. So I sit there. To my right was a missionary from Japan, the other missionary from Dominican Republic. And we just had a 10-minute talk, and I need to, you know, go preach, teach, or whatever. And as I was getting up, this older gentleman, missionary, grasped my hand and said, Pastor O, this is so wild. This is so weird. You know, I really sense I need to give this to you. And gives me a check for $2,000. See, and people ask me, do you think God really exists? Yeah. I think so. Well, how do you know? I just know. Don't argue with me. I encounter God. My God isn't right God. He's real God. Man, you don't want to mess with God. He's so real. You know, my daughter, Patty, when she was growing up, she's so cute. You know, and she said, Dad, you know, Patty, I realized she's becoming a woman because at one point, you know, she was in her high school and during summer, and I was fasting 40 days at the time. I was fasting 40 days to write a book on Dr. Yonggi Cho. I was reading 30 books by him. And so in the 16th day of my fasting, Patty comes and said, oh, Dad, today's the last day of my vacation. And she falls to the bed, you know, like such a drama. I'm like, that's the last day of your vacation. What does that mean? See, guys, ladies, if you want to communicate with guys, be direct. Tell them what you want. Most of the time, we're clueless, like, you know, why is she saying that? But see, I realize my daughter's becoming a woman. That's why she's like, you know, indirect communication. So I said, okay, Patty, this is the last day of her vacation. So what does that mean, Lord? Ah, she wants to spend more time with Dad. So Dad's home, this last day of vacation. Dad, can you spend some time with me? Got it, you know, woman. I said, this is Patty, stay there. I got on the phone. I canceled like 2-3 meetings that day. I said, you know, why are you canceling? Very, very important meeting I have to do. More important than any of meetings in my life. This is it. This is very important, significant. So I put my girl in the back of my motorcycle. I take her out to Huntington Beach, go to her favorite restaurant. It's a Hawaiian theme. It's like I brainwash my kids to marry Hawaii and go to Hawaii. So I could visit her, you know, at any time I want. So she loves this Hawaiian theme restaurant, so we go there. And, you know, of course, I'm juice fasting, so I mixed half of juice. By 16 dabs, juice was too heavy, so I mixed half water, half juice, I'm drinking. And she ordered this fish tacos, not two fish tacos, you know, and she loves to eat, right? I know her. And you know, she's like, she was eating one fish taco, and she said, Dad, I think I'm full. I'm like, no, you're lying, girl. Come on, it's okay. I said, no, Dad, I'm really full. And I start sensing, wow, this girl begins to understand what it means to know the heartbeat of Dad. You know, she felt embarrassed that she just realized that, gosh, my dad is fasting, 16th day, and eating like a pig, you know, and he's like, oh, this is so good. You know, like that's my favorite food too, fish taco. You know, and she's like, I'm really full, and we pack it. And then I just remember, like a couple weeks back, In Southern California, during summer, what happened with the high school girls is that they wanted to, they wear pajama bottom to school, and there was a fashion at the time. Everybody, so all the malls around our town jack up the price of pajama bottoms. They're like, one pajama bottom would be like $35, you know, it's like crazy, right? I know some of you think like, why is he wearing pajama right now? This is not pajama, okay? This is called batik, Indonesian formal wear. This is where Indonesian guy wear in their wedding. So, you know, yeah, you're ignorant. Yeah, anyways. So Patty, I tell Patty, I said, Patty, remember that time you wanted to buy that? You know, that the hottest item was that the PJ bottom with the hamster design or something. You know, and she said, you know, and then she found it at some of the mall, and my wife was yelling at her, like, are you out of your mind? We're not buying you no $35 PJ bottom. There's no way. So I'm like, well, don't try this at your, with your own kids. It's terrible educational. But I said, you know what? She's such a cheapskate. I'll buy you one. Do you like that? What do you like better, mom or dad? You know? She said, for real? I said, yeah, for real. Let's go. And so we spent 2 hours searching for this thing at Huntington Beach. And finally she said, Dad, look, I got it. You know, and so we're rejoicing. Praise the Lord, you know. And she comes up to me and said, Dad, here. I said, good. Here, let me take. And she would not release it. I said, what are you doing? I said, Dad, I just wanted to see if you're going to buy it for me. I think this is ridiculous. I will never pay $35 for this. But Dad, the fact that you said you're going to buy, that's enough. I take your heart. You don't really have to be actually. Dad, I'm just so happy that you're willing to buy for me. That's all I wanted to know. And she puts it back. You know, I was going home in this beautiful, sunny Southern California and in my motorcycle looking over the ocean. And I said, God, when was the last time I spoke like that to you? When was the last time I said, God, it's enough. You bless me enough. Your intention is enough. And I've been Christian for so many years, and I'm still complaining hard about things that I have not received, things that I did not got in abundance of. And God, how can I be like her and tell you, God, it is enough. I receive enough. You gave me enough, Lord. The fact that you're willing to give is enough, God. Here, I'm satisfied with you. You know, God is looking for those who He's willing to say, because God that you know is so real. God that you have encountered this morning quiet time, the God that you're going to encounter early morning, the God that you're going to encounter in quiet time, God that you encounter in your job, in your family, raising kids and dealing with your husband, dealing with your wife, dealing with your kids and dealing with your in-laws and dealing with everybody that in the world, that your God is so real. I say, God, thank you for this process I'm going through. And Lord, I'm so satisfied. You are God. Who refused to give, just gave the best. You gave your only begotten son to die on the cross for me. That is enough, Lord. Amen? And that God, when you make the confession, Bible says, ask for the Holy Spirit. Why would he not give you Holy Spirit? That's what we're going to pray today. In this day of Pentecost, the day of the Holy Spirit coming to us, we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, you've done enough. Now, Lord, grant us this incredible spiritual anointing that I will serve for others, Lord. I will be a source of blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, who are we? You love us so much. God, you are incredible, God. You gave everything. You gave your only begotten Son for us. The blood he shed on the cross, God covers us. By your grace, Lord, we are saved. What more can we ask? But Lord, you have said in the Bible to seek after the spiritual gifts. Oh God, in this day of Pentecost, we seek those things as you commanded. As you said to us, we say, Lord, yeah, yeah, Lord, we seek that. Cover us, Lord, with your blood. Cover us, oh God, with your grace. And Lord, let our hearts be pure like a child. And rejoicing and sharing the glory, Shekinah glory of God. And say, God, Daddy, It's enough. You've done enough. How many of you truly understand the heartbeat of God? Understand the heart of God when you approach Him? Or do we still approach Him like some kind of religious deity that we need to get something from? Oh, Holy Spirit, come. We want to fellowship with you. Holy Spirit, come. Can you put your hand to your heart right now? Just go ahead and put your hand to your heart. Holy Spirit, let us feel the heartbeat of God. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Touch us. Minister to us. Go ahead and verbalize a prayer unto the Lord. Ask Holy Spirit into your life. Ask Holy Spirit. You are God of mercy. Oh, come. Forabahasa. God who's so pure, come. We want to be like a child, Lord, and say, Daddy, Daddy, you've done enough. Daddy, you're such a good God. Fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us, fill us. Yeah, Lord God. God, what an awesome God you are. Holy Spirit, that made touchdown 2,000 years ago, make touchdown in our hearts now. Reveal those things, Lord, that we need to be repent of. Reveal those things, Father, that we need to keep. Father, make it relevant, Lord, today. Make it real, oh God. Manifest yourself, Lord, today, right now. Can we all stand before God? Why don't we all stand? And this is a symbolic act of saying that, Lord, I stand before you. Go ahead and raise your hand unto the Lord. Symbolic act of saying that, God, here I am. I let go, God. There's nothing in my hands, Lord. Bless me. Use me. Use me as a channel of your blessing, of your grace, of your anointing, of your oil. Let this be the channel of your oil, oh God. So go ahead and lift your hands unto the Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Bless, bless, bless. Anoint, 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 anoint. Father, top tip of their hands, Lord. Bottom of their feet. Holy Spirit, go. Yeah, 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 yeah. Holy Spirit, yeah. Right now, God, come. We thank you. We praise you. Let healing take place, oh God. Let anointing, let gifting, Father, the intercession come, Lord. Spirit of God, Father, that they will break out into brand new tongue now, Lord God. Come, come, anoint them. Gifting, Father, the gift of healing come, Lord God. Oh, gift of prophecy come, Lord. Gift of anointing, Father, the impartation of anointing, Father, come. Teaching come, Lord. Gift of service come. Gift of encouragement come, Lord. Gift of shepherding come, Lord God. Gift of mercy come, Lord. Gift of service come, Lord God. Gift of praying tongue, praying, interpreting the tongue come, Lord. Gift of miracle come, Lord God. Come, come, come. Gift of faith come, Lord. Yeah, yes, Lord, we worship you, God. You are good God, Lord. We say, Lord, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that you are Lord. You are Jesus, Lord. You are our Savior, God. You know, when your hands are empty, you could actually grab someone next to you. Why don't we come all the way to the center aisle? There will be no space in between. Go ahead and hold hands with someone next to you and just lift it up. Let's just make a And let's just pray. As we lift up your hands unto the Lord, let's say, God, here we stand as a church, a body of Christ, a family of God. And Father, we say, Lord, we want to be used by you, O God. So come. Why don't we pray for one another? Why don't we intercede for one another? Can we do that? Let's pray. God, la la ba shi ara ba sa. Oh la la ba sa. Taraba, Oria Laraba, Shi Arabasa, Oria Laraba, Saraba, Taraba, Oraba, Shi Araba, Father, come. Father, we ask for your anointing, Father, fire, Father, come. Fire, Father, come, your anointing, favor, God. Favor, Lord God, Father, understanding, God. Your will be done, Lord, your will be done, Lord God. Ora Laraba, Saria Laraba, Shi Araba, more, God. More, God, more, Raba, Shi Araba, Oria Laraba, Sara, Father. Complete, 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 complete those things, oh God. Hallelujah, Rabasara, hallelujah. Halalabashita, Rabba, hallelujah. Harabasari, Alarabatara. More, 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 more. More of you, oh God. Father, anointing, anointing, anointing. Father, come. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we worship you. Father, we give you glory. Father, worship you. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch us. Move us. Holy Spirit, come. More, Father, more, 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 more. More of you, God, Father. We stand, Lord, before your children. As your children, no compromise, Lord God. Father, passion, passion, passion of Jesus, come. Passion of Christ, come. Passion, passion, Lord God, passion. Father, be real, Lord God. Anointing, flowing, flowing, fire, fire, God, fire. Urabasari alla la barabatara basari araba. Uri alla la baria la rabasari arabataraba. Ulla la barabasari alla la bataraba. More, 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 more. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, oh God. And we say, Lord God, you are God. Jesus, we say that you are Lord God. Take, manifest yourself, Lord. Jesus, come and take your place, oh God. Enthrone you, Lord, in our midst. Enthrone you in the core of who we are, God. You are Lord. You are Master. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. And we claim, Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. Yes. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to us, lead us, guide us, touch us, become real to us. Oh, Lord, if there is anyone in this place, Lord, had a burden and had issues and darkness and Lord, this burden, Lord, they couldn't shake it off, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, set them free, oh God. Oh, let them walk out of this place as a brand new, brand new, brand new, brand new, God. Oh, every old thing has passed on, Lord, and everything else has become brand new, oh God. This is the beginning of a brand new day, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come in this day of Pentecost, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, be enthroned at the core of who we are, be enthroned at the core of who we are becoming. Lord, we release the future that doesn't belong to us to you, that your future, you do your greatest work in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, O God. Father, can we intercede for Solomon's Porch? Can we intercede for our pastoral staff? Can we intercede for the people who really work at this church? Can we lift up the Solomon's Porch, that God will use this church in this end time, that God will use it for his purpose? Can we do that? Let's pray for this church right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Lord, I pray the favor of the Lord, favor of God, and favor of man be upon this congregation. As they humble themselves, Lord, in the situation they're in, would you raise up a mighty soldiers of Christ? Let them go forth from this place to the ends of the earth, O God. Let them become mighty, mighty, mighty men and women of God. We want to demonstrate the realness of God. We would like to let the world see the invisible God through who we are and what we do. Let the world see the invisible God through us, O God. Oh, Father, I pray they will stop arguing about who's right when we should be demonstrating who is real. The real God, would you step into our lives, Lord, and walk with us, guide us, lead us, empower us. Oh, so fire come. Be the pillar of fire that leads through the night. The pillar of cloud comes and lead through the daytime, Lord, as you provide shade and comfort and leading and guiding and, Father, assuring that we are in your will, O God. Oh, we celebrate this day of Pentecost, Lord, as we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in our midst again and fill us again. Fill us again. They will walk away from this place so filled with you, God. We thank you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Oh, what an awesome God, Lord. We worship you, Father. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. You are God. Yeah. You are Lord Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, rabasarabatarabasarabaryalara. So we lift your name up, Lord, and we say, Jesus, you are God. Take your glorious, glorious throne in our midst. Jesus, your God, your Lord. We worship you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give God glory, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.